So we're born of the Spirit when we accept Jesus, and then we take it over. We can't be made perfect by our actions. Our beliefs, our belief in Jesus, our belief in what God has said about us is so much more important than what we do. That's how that process of sanctification, being made perfect by God, that happens through our beliefs. What we believe he said to us, when we believe what he said to us in his word. And so our beliefs are more important than our actions. Allow God to do the heart work, the internal work in you, and then your actions start to line up with your beliefs. It's so powerful. Welcome to Believe and Become, Spirit-led breakthrough for transformation that lasts.
We're Josh and Karina Grieger, authors, speakers, and freedom coaches who help Christians like you break free from anxiety, burnout, and spiritual frustration by renewing your mind and walking in truth.
If you're hungry for real, lasting change and ready to grow in identity, peace, and purpose, you're in the right place.
Let's believe what God says and become who he created us to be. Welcome to this episode of Believe and Become. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We are so glad that you have chosen to spend time with us. Please leave a review, follow us, and share our podcast with your friends and loved ones who you know could use a little encouragement. We are so excited to be with you today. Today is going to be a good episode. I can't wait to get into it. But we want to talk about living by faith and not from the law. We want to talk about what it looks like and what the Bible has to say about moving out of duty and into identity, believing who God says you are. And so we're really excited to share Galatians chapter 3 with you today. And so, Josh, why don't you take it away?
We talked a little bit last time about how we move forward in the kingdom. And I thought it would be good to just expand on that. And one of the quotes that I love from Steve Backlund is that we're called believers, not doers. Yeah. And so our beliefs are so important. And he says that we move forward in the kingdom the same way we get into it. We believe, we receive by faith, and that's how we grow and how we move forward. And I always had that, well, kind of backwards, I guess. Mm-hmm. As I was maturing as a Christian, I really received by faith your salvation, and then you start to work.
Yeah.
And that leads to performance and leads to being frustrated, at least in my case it did. And really, God doesn't want us to strive in that way.
He wants
us to rest in his presence, receive from him, and then our actions are an overflow of our relationship with him, an overflow of what he's doing in us through the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3, Paul is talking about how we move forward. Everything we receive in the Spirit is by faith. That's how we move forward. And so in verse 2, he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by faith. That's how we receive the Spirit. And the Spirit is our power of God moving in us to do anything that he calls us to do. And so that's how we get into the kingdom. That's how we mature in the kingdom. And in our relationship with him is by faith. We just have to receive. And that takes so much pressure off. We don't have to strive. We can just receive. And faith is what we believe.
Yeah. I think there is a propensity to move into works, whether you're doing it knowingly or unknowingly, when we start to get feedback from other people like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing, or wow, God really used you. And then there's just this slow inching towards performing for other people that really gradually and I think sneakily can turn into performing for God's approval when we don't even realize that we're doing that. And so this is so important to grasp that we don't even do anything in and of ourselves. So when you have a gift, or maybe you pray really beautifully, or you are an artist, or maybe you are just really hospitable and people just go, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Those are gifts from the Holy Spirit that he has put inside of us. I know that anything good I do, it's because of him. So recognizing that we receive all that we have and all that we are through the Holy Spirit, I think is really huge. When I recognize I can't do anything on my own and it be amazing and sustainable, right? And so it has to be through his power. We come into the kingdom by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us in, and we receive the free gift of salvation through faith. But I don't know that we understand how we did that or what that looks like and how to apply it to other areas. And so I think it's really easy to go, well, yeah, you know, the Bible says like we're saved by grace through faith, not because of us, not by works, right? So we can't take credit for it. But then we just try to take credit for everything else. And so recognizing that we don't really understand the mechanism of grace, and like really we know like, okay, I put my faith in Jesus, but what does that look like in other aspects of my life? I think that can be tricky for people.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's hard to understand. Mm-hmm. We can't understand, really. We just feel like, oh, I have to do something, right? Could grace really be that good? Could God really be that good? And he is. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is believe. It's that simple. And we try to overcomplicate it because we just, it's like, I can't believe that it's that easy.
So, I would say even our season right now is, we're kind of feeling like that, like, okay, God, we're ready to move into the next step of what you've called us to do. And he's like, okay, good job. What is it? What does it look like? What do I do? Right. And so there's this temptation to try to figure it out instead of sitting and believing that he has called us. He's going to open the doors for us. And all we have to do is obey. Right. Yeah. So there, obviously there is requirement on our part to be obedient, but the requirement is not that we create the thing. We're not required to make things happen, to figure things out. He's already done that for us. So it's really about following. And that's where the faith comes in.
Yeah. And there's a temptation to work on the doing part.
Yeah.
And just only that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to do. I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to work really hard. And you can do that, but it leads to burnout. And that's not God's design for us.
Right.
His design is we work on our beliefs. Believe what God has said about us. We believe in the identity that he's given us, who he's called us to be. And then the actions kind of come out of the overflow of what he said to you and what he says about you in his word, his promises to us. And so back to Galatians 3, verse 3, Paul says, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? So we're born of the spirit when we accept Jesus, and then we take it over. We can't be made perfect by our actions. Our beliefs, our belief in Jesus, our belief in what God has said about us is so much more important than what we do. That's how that process of sanctification, being made perfect by God, that happens through our beliefs, what we believe he said to us, when we believe what he said to us in his word. And so our beliefs are more important than our actions. Allow God to do the heart work, the internal work in you, and then your actions start to line up with your beliefs. It's so powerful.
Yeah. And I like this idea that belief is internal, but the law or our actions are external. And so when we have good beliefs, the actions, the good actions follow. And I think that often we want to have good actions and hope that our beliefs follow, right? But like we've said before, and like Wendy Backlund says, you can't do what you don't believe you are. You can't consistently do what you don't believe you are.
Yeah.
Right. So like you can, it's like trying to get a kid to behave, right? You're like, sit quietly. So Josh and I lead worship, and we've had the privilege recently of guest worship leading at a couple churches in the area, but we have three kids. And so they get the privilege of coming and sitting during sound check. And so we have a 6-year-old. Our older two, they're happy. They're like, maybe not happy, but they're able to sit for, you know, 45 minutes and sit through sound check, no big deal. But our 6-year-old has a little more ants in his pants. And so the first Sunday, he came up to me and whispered in my ear, can I walk around the sanctuary? And I said, yes, but no running. And he's like, okay. And he goes down the stairs and he tells our 12-year-old, mommy said we can walk around the sanctuary. And so there they go walking around the sanctuary. And then little by little, it turns into running, right? And then I'm calling them up on the stage. I said, no running. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Sit down. Okay. Sorry. So then they sit down and then one gets up and the other, you know, and so it's like, you're asking a little person who naturally has a lot of energy, who is not a still person, to act still, right? So you're like, okay, don't move, sit there, and like, it'll be fine. You can do that. But that's not who he is. He's not the sit quietly kid. He's the get the energy out sort of kid. He can do it for a little while, for maybe 10 minutes, but he's not going to keep doing it, right? He's not going to consistently be a still, calm child because that is not who he is. And it's not even necessary for him at this point. It's not really a beliefs issue, but it's just this picture of, I can't sit still when I'm a doer, right? And so sometimes in our Christian walk, the Lord is saying, sit still with me. You are my child, and I want you to just be in my presence. And you're like, but I'm a doer, but I need to do something. What do? Right? And then vice versa, you're like, I just want to sit with the Lord. I just want to be in his presence. And he's like, let's do something. And so it's really about that following and about believing, okay, this is who he says I am. I'm a child of God. And so at any given point, that might mean that I'm sitting at his feet and I'm listening well, and I am just soaking and being with him. Or it might mean that I am being obedient and I'm walking out the thing that he asked me to do. But we have to have those beliefs solidified on the inside so that the actions can follow, and it's not action driven, dragging our beliefs along. Yeah. Because that, like you said, it leads to burnout, but I think it also leads to unfulfilled lives that feel vacant, even when you're in ministry, even when you're doing the thing you were created to do, because you don't really believe that you can or that you are.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. There's different seasons mm-hmm. in our relationship with God. And sometimes we're in a rest and receive season. Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes we're in a get off your butt and do something season. Yeah. And so some of us gravitate to one of those more than the other. Mm-hmm. And so we're not saying that we don't do anything.
Right.
Sometimes God is saying, oh, it's time to take action. You've been filled up.
Yeah.
Now go take that.
But I think that's key, that you've been filled up before you
yes.
go do the thing. And the doing seasons typically will come after the just be seasons, right?
Yeah.
But we're always called to abide yes. because in the abiding, we discover our identity. When we are focused on him and when we're allowing him to love on us and to impart grace to us for mm-hmm. the next thing that he's asking us to do or the thing that we are currently doing, that's so important that we are always being first.
Yes. And it all flows out of our beliefs about yeah. God and about ourselves.
Yeah.
And so Paul goes on in verse 5, he says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I love that. Is the Spirit working in us by what we're doing, our actions, what we've chosen, which that's the law represents, you know, the rules and mm-hmm. what we're doing, or is it by the hearing of faith? I love that he uses that phrase, hearing of faith, because mm-hmm. that's goes back to the beginning of our relationship with Jesus. We yeah. hear good news, we believe it. And that's what does the transformation, the transformative work in our hearts. And Paul goes on to talk about Abraham, who believed and received by faith. He heard what God was saying to him, the promise that you're going to be the father of a nation. He believed that and he received it by faith, and it was credited to him because of his faith.
Yeah.
And so Abraham, his original name was Abram, which means exalted father. But then he changed his name to Abraham, which is what God said to him. It means a father of a multitude or many nations. Mm. And so every time that Abraham heard his name or said his name, he was telling himself, reminding himself of God's promise.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, is get our identity from God and then tell it to ourselves
yeah.
over and over and over until it becomes our belief.
Yeah.
And then we're operating out of that belief. Abraham, it was impossible. He was at a spot in his life where it was impossible that he was going to have another child. They were way past the years that they could have one. And God said, you know what? I'm going to build you into a nation. And Abraham said, God said it. I believe it. And so he continued to build up his faith by repeating that name, that yeah. promise to himself.
Yeah. And I had this thought this week that we've talked about thoughts and the difference between how do I know if I know something or if I believe something. I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so what I'm thinking is important. But when we look at thoughts versus beliefs, I think it's really interesting that we can say we believe something, but then our thoughts are consistently opposite of what we are professing to believe. And those thoughts that we constantly or consistently think, the things that we ruminate upon, those are actually forming our beliefs or coming from our true beliefs. And so when Abraham is going about saying, hi, I'm Abraham, or my name is Abraham, or somebody calls him Abraham, he's over and over, he's retraining his thoughts to reshape his beliefs or to reflect the new belief that God has given him. And so I think it's so important that as we recognize what we're thinking about, we start to shift that so that we can deepen the beliefs that the Lord is giving to us to replace the bad beliefs. We have to begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. We have to begin to call ourselves by the name that the Lord has given us. And that doesn't mean you have to change your name, but it does mean that when you catch yourself saying something like, oh, I'm so stupid. No, wait, actually, I'm created in the image of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I actually have a supernatural intelligence because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, right? I have wisdom. I have understanding. So we have to begin to see ourselves and call ourselves the way the Lord does. And only then can we walk in the fulfillment of the promise once we have become who he says that we are.
Yeah, one of the ways that we put into practice this hearing of faith is through declarations. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord by using our words. Mm-hmm. We have the power of life and death in our tongue. And so the person that I hear the most words from is myself. The way that I'm...
Well, maybe me.
Maybe Karina. She's definitely... At least she's first close, or second place.
Close second.
But I can be the biggest encourager of myself through my words and through my thoughts. I have noticed a pattern of as I've changed my words, my thoughts start to line up with that. And then my beliefs start to line up with that. And then that shows up. How do I know if I believe it? It shows up in my actions. Mm-hmm. If I continue to declare to myself that I'm a great father, my actions start to line up with that as I believe that more and more. And so declarations are just taking God's truth and saying it out loud consistently.
Yeah.
And so you can take promises from the Bible that he's given to you, especially the ones that as you're reading, jump off the page. You're like, whoa, that feels like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me through that verse. I think we've all had that experience. We're like, wow. Or you hear something that your pastor says on Sunday, or as you're praying, you have a thought in your mind that you know is from God. There's all the different ways that we hear from God.
Yeah.
But writing that down, you want to write it down, and then repeat it to yourself and do that consistently on a daily basis.
And I would say repeat it out loud.
Yes, out loud.
Make sure that you are not just like, I'll just say it in my head, right? Because that feels safer. But when we say it out loud, we're actually causing things to happen, right? Our words have the power of life and death, right? So our words are powerful. And so when we say it out loud, that actually causes reality to begin to take shape around our words. And I know that sounds maybe a little bit woo-woo, but it's true and it's biblical because our words are powerful and the Bible tells us that our words are powerful. And so your thoughts are powerful in shaping your beliefs, but your words are powerful in shaping your thoughts. And so you start speaking those things out loud. If Abraham decided, well, that's what God said, but it would be weird if I told people that I have a new name. So I'll just call myself that on the inside. And I'll still let people call me Abram. I struggle to see how that would have created the same results as his fully trusting that this is the Lord. He gave me a new name and I'm going to begin to declare it. I'm going to begin to say it out loud. And he was basically, at the very minimum, if that feels too far out there for you, at the very minimum, you are out loud agreeing with heaven. And so you can agree in your heart. That's fine. But when it comes out of your mouth, it becomes substance.
Yeah, I always thought when Abraham introduced himself and said, hi, I'm father of multitudes, people, and they go, you don't have any kids.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? You know, right? You probably got some funny looks from people or people would kind of question and go, are you sure about that?
Right.
Does that make sense? I just thought that was funny.
Well, even at the end of his life, right? He has two sons.
Right.
He's like, hello, I'm the father of many. And they're like, okay.
So sometimes God says stuff about us that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And people will look at you and go, here you go. You say, I'm an author. Right. I write books.
Right.
And they're like,
what have you written?
Have you written anything? Right. Not yet. So, but that's the hearing of faith. Mm-hmm. This is what God told me. Mm-hmm. So it has to be true. He doesn't lie to us. And so you're just saying that out loud. You're harnessing the power of your tongue. Proverbs 18:21. And in James, it says how powerful our words are.
Yeah.
And we can just partner with that. And just like God created everything with words,
yes,
He speaks and life happens.
There you go.
And we're created in his image. Yes. So we have that ability to create things with mm-hmm. our words. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that you just say something, then magically you're going to have it. It doesn't work like that,
yeah.
but it does work in that it changes our thoughts and our beliefs and our actions. Mm-hmm. Then we have unity inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
We come into alignment with God's word,
yeah.
what he said to us, said about us. And when we're in unity, then you get the energy. Mm-hmm. You get the excitement about what God's doing in you. You're working on defeating any lies mm-hmm. and the truth. It starts to resonate inside yeah. of you. I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah. Well, I would say too, the enemy doesn't, he can't read your mind. He doesn't know your thoughts. And so when you're declaring the truth, you're coming into agreement with what God says, you're actually waging warfare.
Yeah.
So that is spiritual warfare when you're speaking it out loud. It's definitely so powerful to begin to just agree with heaven. And I think that's the most important part. We're not just saying like, I want $1 million or, you know, I'm 5 inches taller. It's not random. It is what does the word say and what does God say about you? And when you come into agreement with him, then your words carry authority and power.
An example of this from my life is in ministry school, really hearing that I'm a father. Like, so we have 3 boys. So I'm a dad in the natural, but also I carry the Father's heart for people. And as I started to really believe that, mm-hmm. that changed the way that I just showed up every day. I would show up as a father. You know, I would even go into class and say, I'm a father here. What mm-hmm. do fathers do? They love, they encourage,
yeah.
they impart identity, and they actually give freedom for people to step into who they already are and what God said about them, who he created them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You actually see beyond just the outward appearance into the heart of who someone is and
that's
call
right.
that out and mm-hmm. they can step into that. And then I actually so started to do that in school and saw different people just start to flourish. And as I called that, those things out of them and
mm-hmm.
also fathers bring a sense of security and peace. And in some situations, I wouldn't say or do anything really mm-hmm. differently. And people come up to me and be like, I feel so safe when I'm around you. You just bring this sense of security. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can really be myself.
Yeah.
And that I didn't really do anything different, but I was just agreeing with what God had said about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so powerful and so amazing to see that God
yeah.
worked that way.
Yeah. Well, and that's because you're believing who he said you were. And I think that was a little bit tricky for us coming into ministry school in our 40s, because we're surrounded by a lot of younger people. And it would have been really easy for you to be like, well, they just think I'm old. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not their dad. It would be really easy to get not offended, but just like, I don't want to do that because that's not why I'm here. I need to be fathered. I'm here because I need pastored. Right. But being willing to say, actually, this is who God made me and I'm going to bring it in any situation. I think that's so special. When I took over our choir, this is the opposite situation. I was 24 years old, I believe. And most of my choir was 10 to 15 years older, like baseline plus, right? So I think I had 70-year-olds in my choir. So I had a couple of younger people, but for the most part, everybody in my choir was older than me. And I came in knowing that I could do the job, but not really secure in my position as a leader. Or a pastor. And so that was really tricky for me at first. And it took a while for me to recognize I'm not just here to lead these people musically, but I'm here to impart God's heart to them about worship. Like I'm here to pastor them in worship. And so as I began to understand that identity and step into that, leading my choir became a joy instead of something that I did a little bit fearfully because I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen or if I could do it. And I think it's like the same kind of thing where you're realizing like, oh, he's called me to be a pastor in this situation. And I thought I was just doing a job. And so recognizing like I can lead worship, I can sing, I can bring people along musically, but learning to shepherd their hearts and pastor them into his presence or pastor them through difficult seasons was something really cool that I got to do for a long time, but also something that I had to learn and recognize this is who God made me to be. And it was never something that I thought I would do, but it is still one of the things that has brought me so much joy in my life to be able to have done that.
Love that story. So just reviewing what we talked about today, our beliefs are more important than our actions. We move forward in the kingdom the same way we got into it, by hearing truth and believing it. Abraham believed and received by faith. That's what we're supposed to do. Our faith, our beliefs are greater than our actions and the things that we do. And so we just want to ask you a few questions. Take some time to pray through these. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in them. Where are you operating out of duty or assignment instead of your identity? Spend some time praying and thinking about that. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you, who am I in this situation? What do I carry? What do I bring to it that's just inside of me? It's not something I do, but it's just a part of me. It's part of your DNA, how God created you. Then ask him, what do I need to believe about myself in this situation? Maybe there's some lies that you're carrying around that you need to get rid of. And then spend some time to work on your beliefs before trying to change your behavior. So do your declarations. Mm-hmm. Find truth in the word, write those down, and say them out loud. Take what God has spoken to you personally, say those out loud every day until you believe the truth about yourself.
Yeah, that's so good. We would love to work with you on those beliefs. If this feels like something that you need someone to come alongside you and work with you through some of these things, I know it can feel hard when you have thought the same way for so long. You maybe don't even recognize where some of those lies are. You just know that you are having trouble moving past them. We would love to work with you through our coaching program. We do one-on-one coaching, and you can find information for that on our website at joshandkarina.com/coaching. And you can find all the information there. We also have some books and other resources available. You can find information on our website, or you can find our books on Amazon. But for now, like, subscribe, follow, do all the things, and we will see you again next week.